Welcome back. It's the Jeff Merrick Show. Gord Stellick filling in today on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Talk about seven games going on around the National Hockey. The Toronto Maple Leafs in Las Vegas taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. Vancouver in Florida taking on the Panthers. Coming on a little bit later because we kicked the show off. We'll find out what Elliot thought about it too. A media press conference by General Manager Ken Holland of the Edmonton Oilers. So we carried that live here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Elliot Friedman joining me as he usually joins Jeff Merrick and Friedge. Lance Kennedy, who just runs everything, just said to me, Elliot's all there for you. Now, are you some days partially there for Jeff? Or like, what is this, like ski conditions? What is this?
Well, look, you know, with Jeff, I know that I can zone out for basically half the interview. With you, I have to be prepared.
Well, it's you know, it is funny different times. I remember, God love him, Howard Berger once did the show Pumping Gas once. I remember that. He was running a little bit late. So we all
you know what's so funny about that is that I remember when I was first starting out in at the Fan and you were hosting, you had Howard on. And I was in the control room just watching the show, learning to see what was going on, just, you know, basically learning. And you came on through the intercom and you rolled your eyes and you said, this is where it makes me crazy when Howard's making soup or something like that.
That's right.
And I'm guilty of the same thing sometimes. I lose my train of thought or I'm distracted by a text that comes through. So I understand this now. I have a greater appreciation for what you were saying there.
Well, he covered the Leafs exceptionally well. I want to make that clear. But just, funny the days. And Kippy keeps busting me when I did my last hit from the dog park down by Don Valley Golf Course. So we all do what we can do. Thanks for moving a bit later. You know, Ken Holland, it's a thing about kind of a state of the union calming the waters, and how much does the fact that, say, it's Ken Holland and not, say, Peter Chiarelli or somebody else, the street cred that he has in talking to the media and fans?
You know, it's interesting with him. You know, basically all of his press conferences are very similar. He says what he has to say. And he gives long answers, and you know, like I've heard several of these things before, and they're very similar. It's a lot of talk about the solution within the room. I'm not surprised he said that at all. I'm not surprised that he admitted interest in Kane because I've heard it's there. I'd said on the podcast yesterday that I'd heard that he wasn't going to move the first rounder right now because he discussed it earlier in the year that he would if they were, you know, a top team. Well, right now that's off the table because they're really struggling. So I don't know if I was really surprised by anything, but, you know, he's consistent in his press conferences. He gives long answers. He tells you what he thinks. And then he gets to a point where he says, okay, I've about said enough. And he says, okay, I'm about done here. So I don't think if there was anything there that really surprised me today. I figured he would say that, you know, I don't want to make a desperate move or a desperate trade. So we have to figure it out in here. And that's basically what he did.
So, you know, in looking at Evander Kane's situation and when all those things happened in Detroit, whether it was Todd Bertuzzi, when it was Danny Cleary, Marian Hossa, he didn't have any problems. He just took a one-year contract for a chance to win a Stanley Cup. And the thing was, they were a lead organization. And this year, it's, say, the Carolina Hurricanes that can take a flyer on Tony DeAngelo, for example. How much mm-hmm. is Edmonton the right, not being Detroit? How much is it Ken mm-hmm. Holland that counts in the Milstein-Kane camp versus is Edmonton really that right kind of organization if that's where he chooses to go?
Well, I think that the Edmonton's pitch is this. First of all, the Oilers need some help. They need some depth. They need some scoring. When McDavid and McDavid and Draisaitl are not on the ice, they're getting absolutely filled in. And even when they're on the ice at 5-5, they're not doing as well as you would think or hope. And, you know, they need some help. And all of a sudden, you know, Kane's available. And there were absolutely some teams that went nowhere near this, but there were teams that were definitely interested. And Edmonton is one. And, you know, what they can say to him is you can play for the rest of the year on the number one power play and potentially on the same line as Connor McDavid. And, you know, I think that that, you know, I think I could see how that could appeal to someone for sure. You know, you have to, you know, you have to believe that you can handle it. And I think that Edmonton clearly does. I think they think that'll appeal to Kane. And I don't think they're the only team in there, but I think they are making a serious pick. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. But I could see if you were a player who wanted to have a big impact at the end of your season, you could do a heck of a lot worse playing next to Connor McDavid and on the Oilers' number one power play.
Well, they're not playing till Saturday. Of course, the whole postponed games getting pushed back. So they'll take on Ottawa on Saturday. A couple of great games going on tonight now. Toronto Maple Leafs, Vegas Golden Knights. And it's interesting. That was Mike Babcock's last game as head coach of the Leafs, November 19th.
Right.
2019. And first, in the big picture, throwing some plaudits out, what's really struck me is, okay, you expect the Austin Matthews, the Mitch Marners. The stats first that Jack Campbell have are like Johnny Bauer stats from decades ago. And Sheldon Keefe, and I know there's the overtime loss thing and the extra point, but his record since taking over the Toronto Maple Leafs has been as good as anybody starting out coaching the Toronto Maple Leafs, like two guys that maybe don't get enough credit.
Sorry, you cut out there a second. Gordy, can you just repeat that in the middle?
Yeah, no, just talking about just in Vegas, a chance to reflect in the big picture about first Jack Campbell, that his statistics are almost like Johnny Bauer had decades ago. And then the kind of quietly Sheldon Keefe has procured an outstanding one loss record in his first few years as Maple Leaf coach.
Well, I think that I think this. First of all, Campbell has been of all the moves that Toronto has made since they hit rock bottom. You know, the number one was drafting Matthews in number one overall, and you know they seem to have hit a lot on their draft picks at the top. But to me, the Campbell deal is looking like potentially one of the best. And you know, the All-Stars are going to be announced on Thursday early evening. It's I think it's at 6:45 p.m. on Thursday, and Sportsnet's going to carry it. And I think Campbell is under consideration to go for their division and play goal. And that shows you what kind of year he's had. Now, I think it's going to be tricky getting him signed. I think he wants to stay, and they want him to stay. But as you know, it's a balancing act. But there's no question that what Campbell has been a lifesaver this season. He's reaching the potential that a lot of people thought he had, but wondered if maybe he would never get to. And he's been enormous for them this year, Gordo. You know, as for Keefe, you know, that was the big bet that Kyle Dubas made. He believed in Sheldon Keefe, bringing him to Sault Ste. Marie, and he believed in Sheldon Keefe to make the coaching change that you referenced. And you know, I think that there's definitely something to be said for like a lot of the players under him are improving, and a lot of players under him feel like they get fair chances. I just think, you know, the biggest challenge is, you know, when they lost the playoffs last year, it wasn't that I didn't think they weren't good enough. It's just that they had a mental block. You saw as the Canadians pushed back in that series, especially for game seven, you could tell that night the Canadians believed they were going to win and the Maple Leafs hoped they were going to win. And that's the thing I think that Keefe has got to, and the rest of the organization has got to get to. How do we like I see in the regular season, even with what happened the other night in Colorado, I see a confident team in the regular season. Like, for example, their last game against Vegas, the one in Toronto, Vegas is a really good team. They came in there really beaten up, and you could tell Toronto thought they were just going to beat them. And I see them play a lot of really confident regular season games. That's the big challenge, is how do you get them to believe in that in the playoffs?
So the three-goal deficit Saturday, that was a hell of a hockey game. I loved it. It was
great,
entertaining.
Game.
And, yeah, but then camp. You keep going back to what you talked about, not holding a lead, and you're just hoping that good habits in the regular season will help. And I see a lot of other good habits that I really like with the Maple Leafs this year, whether it's the team defensive play, more depth, more trying different things out. Because I think everybody was guilty about not trying things those three games against Montreal, keep, you know, going, you know, whatever. So maybe some more options out there. And I would hope that this inability to hold a lead, it's just kind of a one-off, because they've been pretty good at that by and large this year.
You know, the thing is, like, I think they've done a lot of things in the regular season that look good, Gord. Like, last year, you know, I don't care what anybody thought about the Canadian division. You play who you have to play, and, you know, all you can do is beat the teams on the schedule. I thought last year in the regular season, they were really good, and they did a lot of really good things. And, you know, we all know what happened in the playoffs. I think that when right now in the regular season, that first round of the playoffs in the Atlantic Division, whichever two of Toronto, Tampa, and Florida are going to end up playing each other, that's going to be a murder series, just a murder series. And, you know, so I think the key is going to be avoiding that. Not that, you know, whoever you get later, whether it's Pittsburgh or Boston or whoever, is going to be easy if you finish first, but that one series is going to be brutal. And, you know, I think to me that the challenge again for Toronto is last year they had a really good process, you know, and but their trust of the process fell apart as that series continued. And again, like, so I look at them this year and I say, I saw this last year too. I saw a team that did a lot of things really well. When things go wrong in the playoffs, and they do, like, you never have, nobody's going 16-0 in the playoffs anymore. Do you trust it to believe that what you do is going to work? And I remember when Ron Hainsey played here, that was always the thing he talked about, was understanding in the playoffs that things are going to go wrong. And do you trust enough in what you're good at and what you do well at to get through it? And I think that's the lesson that this group is still battling.
Elliot Friedman with Gord Stellick in for the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. They are an Atlantic Division team. Interesting, while Ken Holland was talking, formal announcement, Nicholas Lidstrom, Vice President of Hockey Operations for the Detroit Red Wings. And, you know, does this mean he's Steve Yzerman's right-hand man? Does this mean he possibly becomes general manager sometime down the road? You know, we see in L.A. Luke Robitaille tight with Rob Blake and Nelson Emerson,
yep.
That kind of setup. Is that because in Tampa Bay, he kind of got plunked in there. It wasn't his home, and he surrounded himself with non-Detroit people. Is this kind of like that kind of setup here in Detroit now, Elliot?
Well, they have a media conference in about 15 minutes, so I'm going to, no offense, Gord, but I'm going to dust you in about 10 so that I can go listen to that and find out some better answers to these questions. First of all, I think it's an out-of-the-park Grand Slam hire. You know, Nicholas Lidstrom, he's a smart, honest guy, and I think it's tremendous, and I see all the Red Wings fans celebrating on social media. And if I was a Red Wings fan, I would feel that way too. You know, I'm very curious to see what it means. I believe Lidstrom is still living in Sweden. Like, is he going to be coming? He had said before that, you know, and I was looking at his book today. I was just picking it out, The Pursuit of Perfection, and he talked about again about how he thought about maybe coming back to North America at some point, but it wouldn't be until his kids were older. So I'm curious about all of that. I think we'll find out some answers in this media conference about what exactly it means. But my initial reaction is, wow, what a great hire for Detroit.
No offense, Elliot, but I'm going to rinse you in 3 minutes if you don't start giving better answers. So you'll have lots of time to get to that presser. The other is people can't wait for trade deadline talk. Quite often it just starts and goes all over the place. And it's funny, as we talk about Dan Milstein, ever Evander Kane's agent, how about Rich Winter talking to Eric Francis? And just, you know, one, the Mangiapane, they're going to go short term, which I understand. Yeah. But basically saying, hey, Mark Giordano, yeah, I could see him coming back. The fans love him. He's got a house here. The coach loves him. The players love him. Whatever, whatever, whatever. So you couldn't do a better PR move for your client. Obviously, he wants to come back to Calgary. So I'm if Daryl Sutter was general manager, I wonder if that would rub him the wrong way compared to Brad Treliving. So I got to think that's going to happen, I think, anyway. Or do you see with so many interim general managers and GM vacancies that maybe an appetite to make more than the usual number of moves?
Well, first of all, I'm sure Treliving is rolling his eyes at it. The agent does what the agent does, and he's standing up for his clients. The thing I found most interesting is, you know, Ron Francis, the general manager of the Kraken, he's also a really secretive guy. And I thought it was really interesting that, I think a lot of people believe that Giordano will be dealt by the Kraken. And I mean, we could always be wrong. It's happened before. But I think a lot of people are kind of looking at it that way because he's too valuable as a trade chip and to go somewhere else and be an effective player. But, the one thing I think that Winter hit on really hard there was that there's not a lot of team that have the salary cap flexibility to do it now, depending on what Seattle would be willing to take back to make it work. So, you know, I do think there's a lot of interest in Giordano, and I thought that was really interesting. The whole thing with Mangiapane and the answer there, Gordy, was that was basically a shot across the bow in the sense that he said, my recommendation is a one-year deal, and because that takes him – like, there's no way that Calgary is doing that. Like, that is absolutely – a no-win situation for the Flames to do that. It makes no sense for them. But what it is it's, you know, it's a warning that this is what we're thinking if we don't get the kind of extension that we're looking at. So I'm sure that Calgary probably knew that already. I can't see any way that they would agree to that kind of setup. It's not one that makes a lot of sense for the team, because if you sign Mangiapane to a one-year deal, then you can't even extend them until after January 1st, and then you're really putting yourself back against the wall. So what that says to me is that, you know, Mangiapane's agent has a number in mind, and, you know, if the Flames aren't willing to get there, it's going to be a grind. But these negotiations always are, and I think if you look at the Flames historically, they tend to get, you know, deals done that they want to get done. So we'll see where it goes.